It's daybreak in a cattail marsh near Chase Lake National Wildlife Refuge in central North Dakota. This prairie region is teeming with wetlands and bird life on the spring morning. And joining me now to get up close and personal with the birds here is nature recordist and photographer Lang Elliott. Lang, sounds like a bird symphony here.
Holy smoke, it is. It's just an amazing chorus you get there at dawn in the prairie marshes. There's nothing else like it.
What's this area look like?
Well, it's a hilly upland region, awash with all these depressions or pothole ponds that were formed during the Wisconsin glaciation. And all these wetland marshes of cattails and rushes, just chock full of wildlife.
So I hear a noise that kind of sounds like a sump pump noise. Who makes that sound?
Yeah, that's the sound of the American bittern. It's a heron-like marsh bird that's brown with a streaked breast and very camouflaged and lives among the cattails. The male inflates his throat before he calls to create a resonant chamber and makes that sound, sort of a pump-er-lunk, pump-er-lunk, pump-er-lunk.
How did you get so close to record this bittern?
Well, my first morning at the marsh, I could hear them out there. There was more than one, and I wanted to get a really nice recording, but if you try to approach one in the daylight, they see you, and of course they hunker down in the cattails, and they grow quiet, or they slink away or fly away. So what I did is, come evening, I could hear one way out in the marsh. And I thought, well, I'm going to canoe out there and set up a microphone and then come back at dawn and record. But he was so far out, I was afraid I'd get lost in the dark. So I put a little blinking red light on my van, which was parked next to the lake. And I canoed out in the marsh. It took me about 30 minutes or 40 minutes to home in on this bittern that was calling occasionally. And I set the microphone on a tripod in shallow water next to this patch of cattails where the bittern took up residence for the night. And I strung a bunch of cable back to a platform they had built for goose nesting, a goose nest platform, tied the cable off, and I put a blinking red light there. And then I looked back over the marsh, and I could see where my van was. So I canoed back to my van and slept for maybe 4 or 5 hours. Got up 4 in the morning. I could see that blinking light way out in the marsh. So I canoed way back out to that spot. And when it started getting light, he really started pumping. And I got just fabulous recording. I don't think I could do any better.
Now, what are the birds that are common out there among the cattails there?
Oh, there's quite a variety, and a lot of them make really interesting sounds. There are little chicken-like birds called rails. The Virginia rail is out there in the marshes, and even more common is a small rail called the sora, which has a fabulous whinny-like outburst, sort of a laugh-like outburst. Other species, of course, you have the red-winged blackbird, and there can be quite a lot of sound coming out of both the males and the females. Yellow-headed blackbirds just have sort of otherworldly sounds, and they're quite common in some of the cattail marshes. And there's a number of shorebirds in the marsh. There's killdeer, a type of plover. There's lesser yellowlegs. They're quite noisy. Semi-palmated sandpipers. American avocets, which are really elegant and beautiful and make a lot of sound. A common snipe, which flies overhead and makes a really peculiar sound with its wings. And then there's the willet, who's quite a noisy creature. And willets are fairly large shorebirds, and they fly overhead, flying over the marsh, going pee-wee willet, pee-wee willet, pee-wee willet.
Pee-wee willet, pee-wee willet, what will it do? What's the question it's asking here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the question is will it or won't it? And exactly what it might do, I'm not too sure. But I hope that it does do whatever it will do.
I hear that this area has long been the site of the largest nesting colony of white pelicans on the continent, and that there's some 30,000 white pelicans that usually call the Chase Lake National Wildlife Refuge home. Is that right?
Yes. Actually, the recordings that we've been playing come from just north of Chase Lake National Wildlife Refuge in a waterfowl production area. The refuge itself is fenced in, and there's a large lake with an island out in the middle that has the largest colony in North America of breeding white pelicans. And the numbers have risen to nearly 30,000. But last year, for some unexplained reason, in late May, they began abandoning their nest. And over just a period of a few days, the majority of these birds just flew away. Up and flew away.
Leaving their eggs or their chicks behind?
Leaving the eggs, leaving young that had already hatched, all of which perished. Nobody knows why this happened. In the history of the refuge, which was established in 1908 by President Theodore Roosevelt, they've never abandoned their nests. So it's a real mystery and got a lot of people concerned. I'm told that the pelicans are now arriving again this year. There's 500 to 1,000 that have appeared, and everyone hopes that they will nest successfully this year, and it will not be a repeat performance.
Lang, thanks for taking this time with me today.
Thank you, Steve.
Lang Elliott travels far and wide to record the natural world. His most recent book, which includes photos and a CD, is Music of the Birds, published by Houghton Mifflin. To hear more sounds of birds of the North Dakota prairie region, go to our website, livingonearth.org.